John, how do you go about avoiding the pitfalls that sometimes befall a team with the best record or the top seed in a conference?
You know, just really kind of sticking with the same plan, and that is, you know, whether it's this week in a bye week or next week in preparation week, just get better every day. And so, you know, I gave the players off today and tomorrow, and we're back at it Wednesday. We'll treat it much like any other bye week that, you know, we'll work in areas, scenarios, situations maybe that haven't we haven't worked on in a while or haven't arose during the season. And, you know, I have a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice. They've got a weight workout on Saturday at 10 a.m. To make sure they stay here in town. And then we're back at it on Monday.
Does it help that you didn't, you know, take your foot off the gas? You had something to play for all the way through week 17. You weren't resting guys.
You know, again, it can take a lot of different directions. I'm pleased with how it finished and where we are, and we did finish, you know, the regular season race, and, you know, now we're into the tournament season, and, you know, there can't be mishaps. You can't have a bad day. You've got to prepare. Nobody can be the weak link, and, you know, everybody's got to be accountable.
John, you're going to prepare for three teams this week. How much of an advantage, is it a substantial advantage that you're going to potentially have 2 weeks to prepare for two of those teams that you've already played and beaten?
Well, I mean, you know, the fact that they played us is an advantage to them, too. You know, you work hard to get the bye, and our team did, and we're pleased that that happened. You know, but if we don't take care of business, whenever the next time we go out, whoever we're playing, it'll be all for naught. So I think our guys understand that. You know, as far as who you play, who played who, when, I mean, it's still a 60-minute game between lines. It'll be at our place in front of our crowd, our fans that have been, you know, terrific all year. We've lost once at home, and it was quite a long time ago. So, you know, that's kind of what we're staring at.
John, when you took, you've been on this job for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. When you got here, this place was a little bit in disarray. What did you see here as potential glimmers of hope?
Well, I think number one, it starts at the top. You know, you look at Pat Bowlen and his career as owner of the Denver Broncos. You know, I mean, he's amassed an unbelievable record. You know, it didn't, you know, just fall out of the sky. You know, so I think that starts, you know, John coming back into the organization and his background and, you know, just his commitment to being successful. It didn't matter what that was, whether it was football and business or, you know, so I knew what kind of competitor he was. You know, and I'd done it before, you know, in Carolina. So, you know, I think it was just a good fit, and I'm really happy it worked out.
Is there a key to taking a franchise that just...
Well, it's a lot of people with a commitment to work hard to make it happen. And, you know, it's just not the head coach. It's just not, you know, it's everybody. You know, you got players, coaches, assistant coaches. It's a big commitment. You know, there's just not a little bit of interest. It's a commitment, you know, to being world champs. And that was, you know, we've been working on for 2 years. And, you know, we get that opportunity again to get in the tournament and see what happens.
How much of it is looking at what inherent and realizing what you can take from that going forward? Because Carolina had half the starters in the Super Bowl were on the 1-15 team that you inherited. It's a similar ratio with this team.
You know, I don't look at so much that, who was here, who wasn't here, who gets credit. I don't really look at that. It's just, you know, what that one guy in 53 can bring to the team and, you know, bring to winning a world championship. And at the end of the day, you evaluate that and, you know, hopefully you make good decisions and see where it takes you. And that's kind of where we're at.
How often have you had other teams barking out your signals?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I think we've probably done it before. I mean, I'm just saying. But, you know, sometimes it's not really barking out the signals. It may be a back right call or just some loud, sudden blurt out, you know, not necessarily your signals, but, you know, and you just got to hold your water and not allow that to happen.
Did you guys make changes after that as to how you approach things?
No. You know, we just alerted them to, you know, they ought to know what Peyton sounds like and, you know, not one of their guys.
Probably not a fair question to ask, but you coached a team to a Super Bowl. Is this team better than that team?
Yeah, I'm not big on the comparisons. You know, I've been blessed to be around some great teams, some great people, some great owners. I don't like comparing. You know, time will tell. I've never won one, so I'd like to think this one has a chance to be better.
The you glad that you played to the end since you do have a bye? Kind of nice that you played game 16 with all your starters instead. It seems like sometimes the teams who struggle after the bye are those who kind of have it wrapped up and don't have anything to play for in game 16, game 15.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of formulas. If you just looked in history, Mike, there's plenty of different scenarios. At the end of the day, you want to be playing your best football in January so you can get to February. That's really the only formula I know is 100%.
That was December.
Well, no, now we're past that. December's over. Kinda. It is in my brain.
What did you think of Brock's cameo appearance there?
I thought he did good. You know, he's worked really hard. He didn't have much of a choice. But he's, he's prepared, and I thought he did well. You know, for a first time out, actually getting to throw the ball. He'd been out before, but to hand off. I thought it was a good first outing.
Is Brock your backup quarterback going into the playoffs?
He's our backup quarterback today. You know, we'll see what every other day brings. But he's our backup quarterback, has been all season.
Coach, on Christmas Day, I went back and I watched the Monday night game against the Chargers. And looking at that first half compared to the second half, and then the 11 games since then, or 10 games plus that game, since then, I've seen an effort to really minimize mistakes from you guys, both mentally and, you know, fumbling, all that kind of turnovers, et cetera. What do you do to work on that with this team to minimize those mistakes? Because it's really been a point of emphasis in my eyes.
Well, you emphasize it. That was going to be my answer. And you emphasize that whether it's in meetings, you emphasize it on the practice field. And then, you know, typically people live up or down to expectations. If you expect a lot, you get a lot. And so you just have to define the expectations and make it an emphasis to know, you know, so everybody knows you mean business. And, you know, hopefully that helps.
As you know, this is a week where, you know, McCoy and Del Rio might get some opportunities for some interviews. Is that something you don't have time to think about, or is that something you don't want to think about?
You know, it's like anything else. I mean, when you have team success, I'm sure there's a lot of playoff teams that are, you know, going to deal with the same thing. That's usually how it works, at least it has in the 24 years I've been in it. And no different than a player making the Pro Bowl or being voted this or voted that. I mean, with team success, you get recognition, and those guys are all professionals. You know, they understand the focus it's going to take for us to get where we want. They've got a lot of investment in it. So I don't anticipate that being a problem for us or really anybody else.
Along those lines, I mean, tough to see so many coaches, GMs, et cetera, today with the teams making changes.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, the reality is there's 16 winners and 16 losers every week. And, you know, that curtails into the end of the season. And so it's a very competitive business. It's a very hard business. You know, not a lot. Does it just winning or losing? You know, there's 10-6 guy let go. I remember a 14-2 guy got let go. So, again, it is a tough business. We know what we're signing up for, and you deal with it.
Have either of them been approached yet today?
You know, I'm not going to get into that. I mean, that's going to, you know, because there's other teams involved. I don't know, you know, out of respect for the whole process, that's not going to be something that, you know, I'll make public.
Coach, even Demaryius looked a little bit surprised when he came to the sideline after the one-handed touchdown catch. At this point of the year, how much of that is a product of the work he and Peyton putting in since Peyton got here, and using that going into the playoffs, that trust there, putting a ball up where only DT can get it?
Well, usually anything worth a darn is, you know, a lot of work's been put into it. So, you know, those guys have worked very hard. You know, DT's a very talented young man, and he's he's worked very hard to get his skill level to a higher degree, you know, with each day. So, you know, it's all a product of a lot of hard work.
John, you talked about that prescribed or required weight session on Saturday to get the players here. Is that a philosophy that you've learned over the years, that, you know, maybe too much time off is detrimental?
You know, you just want them to be focused and, you know, not concerned with flights to other states and those types of things, especially close states. at the end of the day, you know, you just want them focused and, you know, I don't know, maybe watching football than some other things.
Coach, I've said every team needs a Lance Ball. What is it like to have that type of running back stable or if you need to emphasize, you have that veteran that can do a little bit of everything.
You know, Lance has been a real productive guy in his role in both seasons I've been here. You know, everybody's got a role, and you need guys in every single role. You know, Lance was a four-phase starter in the kicking game and has been. You know, when we've needed him, and, you know, we called his number last night or yesterday, and, you know, he's come through. He's done it a lot. You know, I'll go back to last year's game in New England here. But, you know, that's what the expectation is that, of any of the 46 guys that you bring up on game day. And he's done a great job of that.
Will players who make mistakes like Ronnie did yesterday get a much shorter rope now here in the playoffs?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you're trying to do the right things, and it wasn't that Ronnie was intentionally trying to fumble, but the reality is it happened. You know, he'll learn from it. He'll get back. He'll get another opportunity to compete starting Wednesday. You know, and like all young players, they're going to make mistakes. Like any players, coaches make mistakes as well. But at that point in time, it was a huge play. It was a huge swing of momentum. We had one player go down. We had another guy trying to become a safety that shouldn't be. And, you know, those things, you know, mistakes breed mistakes, and you just try to limit them.
Was playing Hester as extensively as you did yesterday, was that part of the plan, or was that a reaction to him?
You know, it's just next man up. You know, we kind of made an adjustment, and those other two guys had to step in, and, you know, that's why they call it a team, and they stepped in big. But, you know, Jacob's a guy we picked up later in the season that's worked very hard to learn our system. He's a bright young man. He's tough, hard runner, low pad level. He brings something that we, you know, well, since we lost Willis, that maybe we didn't have so much. And I think he's made good progress.
Staying up till midnight tonight? Or do you have to be up early for work?
I don't know. I'm a little bit tired, so I don't know. I'll try, but I don't know if I'll make it.
John, you going to correct stuff this week? Or
a little of everything. You know, we'll hit some things maybe we haven't hit in a while, situationally. Maybe some, you know, obviously keep our, you know, crispness, you know, in all three phases, you know, just to stay practiced and stay on top of what we're doing and try to get better.
Coach, when Derek Wolfe came out of college, the scouting report was high motor, one-on-one, pretty much unblockable, but he'd run out of gas sometimes. How has he avoided hitting the rookie wall this season?
You know, they've all done a tremendous job, and basically I kind of declared that there was no such thing, and they seem to have believed me. But, you know, I think Luke Richardson and his staff have done an outstanding job. I think our practice management, we cut back reps a little bit, you know, about 9 weeks ago. You know, again, this is a, you know, it's a marathon. It's a long, long haul. And, you know, I think our whole football team, including our rookies, have done a tremendous job.
So did you just declare him Super Bowl winner and believe that too?
I wish it was that easy. You know, I think everybody hits a wall, you know, and at some point in the marathon, whether you're the winner or the middle of the pack or whatever. So you just deal with it. These guys are tough. They're mentally tough. And I think they understand what's at stake now.
Is there one moment in the season that'll stick with you over others?
No, because, you know, really our work's not done yet. I know the regular season's over, all that fun stuff, but, you know, you look at it as, you know, whole seasons, and, you know, we still have work to do.